1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 is where we want to focus today. We read the passage to give you the context, but I especially want us to look today at verse number 15. The Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Here we see that the church is called three different things. First of all, it's called here the house of God. The house of God. Now, wait a minute. Is this building the house of God? Boy, I don't know if I want to say that. This is a building that we are in on Sundays and have one room on Wednesdays. But there's some other things that go on in this building during the week that I don't know that you would want to call this building the house of God. When I came in this morning, there were some witches and ghosts decorating around in here. And I had to stuff those all in a little closet somewhere before you got here. Because I thought, you know, those decorations aren't quite what we want here for the house of God. Right? But is this the house of God, this building? No. The church is the assembled believers. The assembled believers. The word church means called out ones and has the idea of assembled. So when we talk about a church, we're talking about the called out ones, the ones who God has called out to be His children, and they assemble. Now, the called out assembled ones are the church. And so, guess what? In a sense, this is the house of God, not the building. But the assembly, you guys, all gathered together are called the church, the house of God. And that's what this verse calls the house of God. The gathering would be a good one. Now, look also in this verse. It says something else about the church. Not only is it called the house of God, but it's called the pillar and ground of the truth. I see two things. The ground of the truth. The ground of the truth. You know, church is all about truth. Church is all about this book and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And He said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So church is all about being the ground of the truth. What does the ground mean? That means the thing that holds it fast. The thing that holds it strong so it doesn't drift. In our world today, even in Christianity, churches are drifting from the truth. And we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be the ground of the truth. We're supposed to, as a church, make sure that the truth of God's Word gets proclaimed, gets understood, and gets lived. We need to live this truth and practice it in our lives. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the ground of the truth. The truth shouldn't shift. The truth doesn't change. It's grounded. It's anchored. And we're the church. We're supposed to make sure that it stays grounded. The church is all about truth. Now, I believe that when we worship the Lord, John 4:24 says we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that word spirit there is a small s. And I think the idea is, yes, we have truth, but we shouldn't be, "Yeah, we believe the truth. Yeah." No, we should have some spirit about it, okay? We should be excited about it. When we sing, we shouldn't say, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord," okay? We should get excited about it. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Okay, we're excited about it because we worship in spirit. But we also worship in truth. And what you'll find is some churches, they're all truth, and that's good, but there's no spirit, there's no life. And then other churches, they're all spirit, but there's no truth. It's like, "Hey, let's have a good time. Let's run up and down the aisles. Let's sing. Let's shout. Amen." But the truth isn't being communicated. Okay? It's got to be spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And when I read this verse, it says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That if I couldn't find a church that had the perfect balance of spirit and truth, I lean toward the one that had the truth. Because the purpose of the church is to be the ground of the truth. The ground of the truth. And worship is spirit and truth, but worship isn't only at the church. We'll talk about that more today. All right, not only do I see it's the ground of the truth, but I see it's the pillar of the truth. Now, a pillar is something that holds something up. So not only are we as the church supposed to be the ground of the truth to hold this book firm, but we're supposed to be the pillar of the truth. We're supposed to exalt this word. We're supposed to lift it up. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't know, sometimes the way you guys talk about here, it's almost like you put the Bible right up there with Jesus. Well, wait a minute. Jesus calls himself the living word, and this is the written word. And in Psalms it says that God has exalted his word above all his name. That's an amazing verse. God's name is all he represents, and he's exalted his word above. Now, we don't worship the book. We don't bow down to this book like some kind of idol or something. We have it open down here in the front as a symbol of the fact that we are the pillar and ground of the truth, and we want to exalt this word. And we want to give it its rightful place in our church, in our lives, and hopefully in our nation, in our world. We want, are the church. We're the pillar and ground of the truth. Now look down at verse 16, because there's a little word in there that we'll focus on. I'm sorry, verse 15. It says that thou knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God, in the house of God. Behave. It sounds like a childish term, doesn't it? Behave yourself. How many of you kids have been told by your mom or dad, now behave yourself. Behave yourself. All right. Did you ever hear this? Sometimes they say it this way. They say, are you being haved? Have you ever heard that before? Instead of are you behaving, they'll say, are you being haved? I thought, well, that's kind of a weird way to put it. But different parts of the country say it different ways. But here in the Bible, it says that we need to know how we should behave ourselves. Now, the Bible word behave literally means turned upside down. Before you were saved, you behaved one way. Now that we're saved, our behavior is turned upside down. Our behavior is totally different from people who don't know Christ. Our behavior is radically different. It's turned upside down, and that's what the idea behind this word behave is. How are we supposed to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church? When we assemble as a church, how are we supposed to behave? That's what this verse is saying. You've got to behave yourself. You've got to know the right way to do things. The bottom line is this. We need to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, does all include when you come to church? Do all to the glory of God. Does that include coming to church? Yeah. So when we come to church, we should come in such a way that we do it to the glory of God. That means driving on the way here. We ought to drive to the glory of God. Choosing our parking spot. Letting the handicapped and the older people have the closer spots. Okay. We should do all to the glory of God. What does it mean to glorify God? That word glorify means give the right opinion. And we're going to refer to that a lot this morning. Give the right opinion of God. So if I say, you know, I want to glorify God with my life, then I have to give the right opinion of God by my life. When people look at my life, they should get the opinion of how great God is. And that's how we glorify Him. We give the right opinion of who God is. Now, this verse says to behave yourself in church, to glorify God when we're in church. We do that by appropriateness, by good manners, and by spirituality. Appropriateness means there's some things that we do at the picnic yesterday that we wouldn't do in church today. Why? Because we want to do what's appropriate. We didn't do anything wrong at the picnic, but we want to do some things that are appropriate to the house of God. Not only appropriateness, but good manners. Good manners. Now, good manners are good everywhere, even at the picnic, right? There was one of the little girls who's out in junior church today would come up to us at the picnic and say, excuse me, when she wanted to say something. We'd all go, yes. And then we'd listen. And she was practicing good manners. It was a blessing. Good manners. And then spirituality. That means not doing things that are in the flesh, but doing things that are controlled by the Spirit. So, how do we behave ourselves in the house of God? Well, we behave ourselves and we glorify God first, number one, by how we pray. by how we pray. When we're at church, it's customary to say, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Now, do you have to do that when you pray? Do any of you adults pray when you're driving your vehicle? Okay. I hope you don't bow your head and close your eyes at the same time. Okay. Sometimes we're in the drive-through at McDonald's and the bag comes through the window and I say to one of the boys, okay, lead us in prayer. And I don't want the people behind us honking their horn. So while they're praying, I'm driving out of the drive-thru and I'm praying with them in my mind, but I don't have my head bowed and eyes closed. So he says, see? So we don't have to bow our heads and close our eyes. Hey, but listen, how do you behave yourself in the house of God, in the church? We bow our heads and close our eyes because we don't want to be distracted. We want to think about what we're doing. We're talking to God. We want to think about the words that are being said to God, and if you're not the one leading out loud in prayer, you ought to be agreeing. You ought to be thinking, yes, Lord, I agree with that. I'm asking that too, Lord. And to help you from being distracted, you bow your heads and close your eyes. And that's an important thing to do. It's important at church. Not only to keep from distraction, but because we've asked you to. And in some ways, it's just a matter of doing what you're asked to do. Now you say, well, why do you bring this up, preacher? When I was a youth pastor all those years, I loved those teenagers. And I loved them enough that I cared about them and wanted them to do the right thing. And so you know what I did? Sometimes when I prayed and led in prayer, I would look. I'd look around. And you know, if I hadn't done it for a while, looked around for a while, if I started looking while I was praying, sometimes there would be some young people out there and they would be talking to their friend or fixing their hair or checking their makeup and all this. It's amazing what goes on during prayer. It's terrible though. It's terrible because we're communicating with God. We're communicating with the Lord. And so it's important to have your heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, if you're a Sunday school teacher or work with young people, I'd recommend that once in a while you pray with your eyes open just so you know what's going on in your classroom and what's taking place. But normally we want to be free from distraction. We want to be focused on the things that are being said. So that's how we ought to behave ourselves when we pray. What else do we do in church? Well, we sing, don't we? We sing. Everybody find a hymn book if you can. We do a lot of singing in church. And what I just said is an impossibility because there's not enough hymn books in here for everybody. We share our hymn books, don't we? And so the first thing you have to do when we get up here to sing is to get the book. Okay, here we get up here and say, all right, let's all take our song books and turn to page 51. And here's what happens sometimes. All right, here we are. We don't have pews. We got these chairs, so there's no little pocket for the songbook. So when you sit down at church, you kind of put your songbook on the ground, right? And say, okay, let's all turn to page 51. Ah, page 51. Yeah, I guess it's time to start church. I guess we're going to sing. All right, page 51. Everybody got it? All right, let's stand together. Oh, stand together as you sing. Oh, page 51. Blessed assurance, Jesus mine. Oh, what a fortune, divine. There's salvation. Where are we? Born of the Spirit. This is my story. Okay, I finally got in. Okay, what happened? I was daydreaming. Boy, it ought to be, you know, you're down there and you're talking to your friends or whatever. And actually what happens is, you'll hear the piano start to play. You know, we play some other music in the auditorium. Then the piano will start to play. That means, okay, time to get to my seat. Time to get my spot. Okay, and then the piano starts to play. So we wind down these conversations. And then somebody gets up and says, all right, let's all take our songbooks. And you're like, all right, let's get our songbook. Turn to page 51. Okay, page 51. Here we go. Oh, man, this is one of my favorites. All right, great. Here we go. Let's stand together as we sing. All right, here we go. See, we're ready to go. So we said, well, why don't you just put the song numbers in the bulletin? Oh, so that nobody will listen when we get up here and talk, right? No. I want to teach everybody to pay attention to what's going on and stay tuned in, okay? So, show some life. Guys, get the book for the girls. Okay, it's hard, especially when they're on the floor. You know, you dive down there and get it for the girls and for the ladies. And then, since we share hymn books, it's good for the guys to hold the hymn book for the girl. That's just gentlemanliness, okay, manners and things like that. So, guys, you hold that book for the girl. All right. My wife is out in junior church, so I have an imaginary wife sitting beside me today. All right. And I've gotten her the book. All right. What's wrong with this picture? I'm holding it with the wrong hand. Okay. Whoever you're sharing with, hold it with the inside hand. Okay. Hold it with the inside hand. Okay. Then sometimes we have the lazy singers are like this. This is my story. And the book's way down here on their lap, okay? And she can't see it, and I can't see it. And when I do see it, I'm singing down here, so you know, the sound doesn't get out to worship the Lord. So get that book up. Now, don't cover up the sound like this, okay? But you just sing right over top of that book. And then don't be a lazy book holder like this. Okay, I got some lazy book. I know this song anyway, you know, the lazy book holders. Then there's the know-it-all. They say, okay, let's sing together that fourth verse. Oh, I know the fourth verse. And she's like, wait, I don't know the way. Okay. Even if you know the verse, even if you know the chorus, just hold that up there because you're sharing that book. And just be a good example. Get it up where you can sing and be seen. Don't be a lazy book holder. Oh, here's one. Here's one. We're all standing as we sing now, okay? And then there's people. This is my story. This is my song. Okay. Don't be a swayer. Or at least if you sway, just keep the book there. I don't know. That's kind of hard to do. But don't be a swayer. Or else there's the bouncers. Praising my Savior all the day long. Okay. Don't be a bouncer. You hold that book so that the person can sing and you can sing it with them and be a blessing that way. All right. Now what about singing the song? Hey, when we sing a song, it's praise to God. It's praise to God. So, don't worry about it if you are not an excellent musical singer. You could still sing praise to God. You could still sing praise to God, and you ought to give your best. Your best might not be as good as somebody else's, but you should give your best. You should sing your best for the glory of God. Refusing to sing is like refusing to praise God. It really is. Really is. If you say, but Pastor, I am such a terrible singer. Well, you might need to do your best softly. Okay. But still do your best. Do your best because it's for the glory of God. And he deserves, you know, I shouldn't even have said softly because he deserves loud praise. In Psalms, a number of times it says to praise him with loudness, loud timbrels, loud voice. And he deserves our praise. So don't worry about what people think. Now, on the other side, if you're a good singer, don't draw attention to yourself. I caught myself almost doing that this morning. Quincy was leading Bring Them In. You know, bring them in, bring them in. And I like to sing, go out and bring them in, go out and bring them in. And I thought, well, wait a minute, he didn't say to do that. And I would just be getting attention to myself if I did that. And people are like, what's he singing, you know? So don't get attention to yourself, but sing it to the praise of God. And then most importantly, think about the words. Oh, how many times do we sing songs and we don't think about what we're singing? You know, I started thinking about words a number of years ago to the hymns we sing. And you'd be amazed. This hymn book is a great hymn book, but it's not the Bible. And once in a while, you'll find something in there and you'll think, I don't know about that. Is that really biblical? Sometimes it's just written in an old-fashioned way. And it is biblical, but it's just the words are switched around where it struck you funny. But other times there's some verses in some of these hymns that I'll skip when I'm leading the singing just because I don't think those verses that the guy got it right according to the Bible. And we've got to be careful, but we got to think about the words that we sing. So we're singing praise to God. Now, music also has a place when we have special music and offertories. Let's talk about that for just a minute. How do you behave yourself during a special music and an offertory? Well, when somebody's up here singing, you know, that's time to doodle on my bulletin. No. You know what you should do? You should listen for the message of the song. Don't evaluate how good of a singer they are or how nice their dress looks or if their tie is straight or if it matches. No. When they're singing, that's time to be thinking about the message of the song and saying, Lord, what does this song mean for me in my life? And by the way, singers, you ought to think that too. You know what keeps you from being nervous when you get up here to do special singing, special music? Think about the message. If you're thinking about, how do I look? What's everybody thinking? You know, is my fake eyelash on straight? You know, and all this. If you're thinking about all that, then you're not going to communicate the message. And it just makes you more nervous. Oh, I got this high note coming up. I don't know if I'm going to make the high note or not. Here we go. Ah! You know, no. Don't think about yourself. Think about the message. And let the message show on your voice, in your voice and on your face, and you communicate the message. Now, the rest of us, as we're sitting out there listening, we need to allow God to speak to our heart. Don't talk unnecessarily. Even when she's playing the music for the offering. Now, you know, that can be a blessing time. And I'm so glad that here at Bethel Baptist Church, the offering isn't time for everybody to talk. Okay, we're listening to the piano. Now, sometimes you have something essential. You know, you need to say, "No, son, remember, don't get up and go to the restroom today." You know, or something like that. Sometimes there's something you have to say during the offering. That's fine. Okay? Sometimes even up here, you know, we'll have to say, "Hey, you got the next song," or whatever. Sometimes there's things that have to be said. But in general, we ought to be listening and seeking for a blessing from the offertory that's being played. And if God speaks to your heart during a special song or during an offering, at the end, it's right to say, "Amen. Amen." I remember the first time I said amen in church. You know, I think I was listening to a song, and I was getting a blessing out of it, and I was saying, "Man, this is really great. I'm just going to say amen at the end. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to say amen because it's a," and you're nervous the first time, you know, because you're going to say amen, you know, and amen. You know, you're just going to say it, you know. And that, you know, but that's good. You know, why don't we like to clap so much? Because clapping draws attention to the people. It's kind of, you know, I know some churches don't do it for that. They say they're doing it for the Lord, but it just has an uneasy feeling when we clap. It just seems to like draw attention. I know sometimes you got the little kids up here and they're so cute, you just can't help but clap. And, you know, we're not going to condemn anybody for that, and that's fine. But most of the time, it's just appropriate to say amen. Amen. If God blesses your heart, or if you thought it was a blessing, you just say amen. Sometimes during the preaching, something speaks to your heart, it's fine to say amen. Amen. Now, don't do it like some people drawing attention to themselves. "Well, amen, preacher!" Okay, well, that's just drawing attention. I knew a guy, he'd go, "Shake that bush, preacher!" You know, and he was just trying to get attention to himself, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. But hey, if God bless your heart, amen. Amen. Just let it be known. And that's a good thing. Now, there's another time when music comes up. It's at the offering. It's during the singing. When else does music come up? You tell me. Yes, during the invitation at the end. Hey, perhaps the most important time of the service is the invitation. That's decision time. That's when people are saying, "Okay, Lord, I've heard what you've said from the Word. I heard what the preacher said about it. Now it's time to, what am I going to do about it?" It's decision time. And a lot of ways, the invitation is the most important time of the whole service. What should you do? Well, first you should search your own heart. Now, Lord, is there something I need to do about what I've just heard? Is there some changes that you're trying to make in my life, Lord? Search your own heart. Then you should follow the preacher's instructions, whether it's me or a guest speaker. Guest speakers will do things differently. Evangelists sometimes will do things differently. And whatever they tell you, you just do. If he says, "Let's all sing this song together with our heads bowed and eyes closed," then do it. If they say, "Let's all sing this song," and he doesn't tell you to bow your head, then just go ahead and sing it out with your head unbowed, and feel free to do it that way. If your eyes are closed and you don't know the song, obviously you can't sing it. But just cooperate. Sometimes they'll say, "Well, let's all hum this verse together," you know. And, you know, whatever they say, just cooperate with it. Don't do this. "Oh, invitation time." Okay, the preacher says, "All right, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for the invitation. Time to pack up, you know, get my Bible packed up, make sure I got all my stuff, you know, and get my purse, because, you know, we're getting out of here pretty soon." No, it's not time to pack up. Up north, they put their coats on. It's like, no, this is the invitation. This is the most important time of the service. Okay? You say, "All right, I searched my own heart. Then what do? Then I pray. Now, Lord, be at work in our church. Lord, I needed that sermon. My kids needed it too, Lord. Would you work in my kids' life through this? And you're praying for other people and asking the Lord to do something special. You might want to encourage others as the Lord leads. You know, maybe you've got an unsaved person beside you, and you can tell the Lord's been working. Sometimes you can tell. You're sitting next to him, and, you know, maybe you hear a sniffle or something, or you look over, and you can tell the Lord's at work. You know, it's not wrong to just whisper and say, hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. If you want to go up and receive Christ as Savior, they'll show you from the Bible, I'll go with you. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes the Lord works in your heart and there's something you got to get right with somebody else. And they might be on the other side of the aisle. Invitation's a fine time to slip out and go around and say, hey, come on to the back for a minute. I got to tell you something. That's a great thing to do. Okay, how to behave thyself in church. Because why? We're trying to give the right opinion of God. We're trying to glorify God. And so we want to sing in such a way that everybody who hears and sees us sing gets the idea that, hey, God is worthy of our praise. I can tell by the way they're holding the book. I can tell by the way they're singing. God is worthy. And we're given the right opinion of God. And then during the offertory and special music, we're paying attention because God is worthy. We're given the right opinion of how great our God is. And then during the invitation, we're serious because we're given the right opinion of how great our God is. Sometimes we'll ask counselors to look during the invitation. Some of you who help me to deal with people who come up to, who need to be saved. You know, I might say, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Well, you know who you are. Maybe you need to, you know, keep an eye open so I can call you up to help and pray with somebody. And once in a while, and that's fine. We're not going to, oh, who's looking and who's not. No, but you know what I'm saying. Just in general, we want to be serious during that time. And don't distract anybody. Oh, I've seen some young people. Oh, kids look at me now. Fifth and sixth graders, look this way. Look this way. Look this way. Thank you. Look this way. All right. I've seen sometimes, you know, during the invitation, you think that's the time to play with a girl's barrette in front of you or something like that. No, no, no. This is very serious. Maybe the Lord's working in their heart. Here's what I do. I think, what would it be like? What would I be acting like if I had my unsaved relative in the row with me? And I'm thinking, this is the time. This is their chance to be saved. They're finally hearing the gospel. And you're out there and you're saying, okay, preacher's preaching about behaving yourself. I hope he preaches about being saved because my unsaved relative's here today. And then during the invitation, you're praying, Lord, please work in their heart. Please. That's the way you ought to be every service. And sometimes it's good just to think because somebody might be unsaved in the group. And we don't want to be a distraction in any way. All right, so by how we sing. The rest is going to go quick. Number three, by how we give. By how we give. You know, giving is a part of our worship. And we should glorify God. One of the things we do at our church is we pass an offering plate to make it convenient for people to give. Now, you don't have to pass an offering plate. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to pass a plate. Some churches have a box at the back or something like that. But I'll tell you, I think it's nice that we can do it as an act of our worship, as part of our service. And that's why our men, after they collect the offering, they bring it down the center aisle and put it underneath our little table here, almost as an offering to the Lord. Lord, we're presenting to you. It's a little bit symbolic there. You know, they could just take it to the back and dump it in a money bag and deposit it in the bank, right? They're going to do that later. But first we bring it to the front. We say, Lord, this is an offering for you. And when we give to the church, we're actually giving to the Lord. We really are. The Lord has set it up that way so we can give to Him. He doesn't really need anything, right? So He set it up so we can give to Him by giving to the local church. Malachi 3, I think, applies. They had storehouses back then, and they didn't have the church back then. But it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Some preachers call it storehouse tithing. And if there's a certain ministry that you think our church ought to support, you know, let's talk about it. But it's nice to be able to give your giving through the local church. It gives you some protection, making sure you're not getting, what's that word? Not shysted. What's that word? scammed, yeah, okay, things like that. So there's some protection by giving through your local church. Couple things. When that offering plate's coming, don't try to see what others are giving. Okay, looking down the other, I wonder what he's going to do, okay? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Be sure to tithe and then give a little more to show your love. Don't try to get attention to yourself. Here we go. Crisp $100 bill with a picture of, I don't know, who's on 100? Franklin, or is he on a 50? I don't know. I never see hundreds. But anyway, you know, don't do it to give attention to yourself. Like, here we go. This is going in the offering, you know. No, okay. No, we're not giving attention to ourselves. Now, up here on the platform, after we pray for the offering, we like to put in the offering plate before you get to the back and so forth. And some of that is, you know, being an example or whatever. But again, it's not by show. That's why we use those church offering envelopes, like this one. You can use a church offering envelope. If you don't have a whole set, you can just get some off the back table there. There's some old ones. You can just cross out the date or whatever. And this also keeps your giving anonymous so that nobody knows who's giving what. When these go to our record keeper, somebody knows who giver number 12 is, but they don't know how much giver number 12 gave. Somebody else knows what giver number 12 gave, but they don't know who it is. And so it keeps our giving anonymous before the Lord, and that's a good thing. And I like to look at it this way. I don't like to miss an opportunity to worship the Lord by giving. And some people like to put their tithe in the morning and their rest of the offering in the evening. Okay? Whatever you'd like to do, but I don't like to miss an opportunity to worship the Lord. I don't like to let that plate go by without worshiping the Lord by giving something. So we worship the Lord by how we give. Number four, we worship the Lord by how we listen. By how we listen. Again, I'm thinking of our young people, and I'm glad they're in here with us today. But I've had some people. So I was talking to a group of young people one time, and the guy's like this. He's, I guess they call it sitting on your neck. I can't even get that low. But you know, they're sitting on their neck, you know, and they're like this. And I said, I called him out. I said, I forget his name. I said, John. You need to be listening. He went, I am listening. Oh yeah, well if you're listening, then what am I talking about? And he told me. He was listening. But you know what? He wasn't glorifying God. Because glorifying God means giving the right opinion of God. And when people looked at John, or whoever his name was, they said, man, God must be boring. See the difference? Glorifying God means I'm listening. Now, the best way to listen is to look at the person who's speaking. 90% of communication comes by facial expressions. That's why it's harder in these really large churches. And that's why sometimes a really large church, they'll even have like a video screen with the preacher's face on it. Because 90% of the preaching comes through the facial expression. And so if you're not looking at the preacher, you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot. There's one time you shouldn't look at the preacher. It's when he says, let's all look down at, and you know what? We should bring our Bibles to church. We should have them ready. We should have them handy. Let's all turn in our Bibles to, you should be turning, trying to find it. Okay, let's look down at that verse. We should look down. And then when we're done with that verse, then we're looking back up at the preacher. We're paying close attention. It's good to take notes. Taking notes helps you stay awake. I started taking notes when I was in college because I got tired of getting demerits for falling asleep in college chapel. And so I said, okay, I got to stay awake somehow. And so I started taking notes, and man, I would write. I'd write like crazy. Of course, you do have to look down when you're writing, but it would help me stay awake. Even if you don't take a lot of notes, it's good to write down one thing, to be listening and thinking, now, Lord, you have me here in this message. There's at least one thing you've got for me. Lord, what's that one thing? And write down that one thing that the Lord has for you. So I think you ought to bring a pen to church and use the sheet in the notebook or in the bulletin, or maybe you keep a notebook or something. But it's good to write something down. Hey, why? Because this book is important. Not because this preacher is so great. I'm not saying that. But this book is great. And our God is great. And He is worthy of our utmost attention. And I'll tell you, if somebody was coming to tell you something really, really important, and you know it's going to be important, you'd be ready to take some of it down. Because you said, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to forget it. And there's nothing more important than God's Word. And so it's good to take some notes so you can take something with you. And then, probably most importantly, be an obedient listener. When God speaks to your heart, respond. Respond. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I would be embarrassed if God wasn't speaking to my heart. Okay? Be glad that God is talking to your heart, and deal with what God wants you to deal with. A lot of times, the commitment of responding to an invitation helps decisions and commitments to stick with you longer. Even if we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, you say, excuse me, to the person next to you, and as you come up, they'll pray for you. Say, Lord, thank you that so-and-so's, you're at work in their heart. Help them to do some follow through and really have a blessing here today in this decision they're making for you. And be an obedient listener and respond. Well, then the last thing I want to mention is this. We glorify God. Yes, by the way we pray, by the way we sing, by the way we give, by the way we listen. But lastly, by the way that we reach out. When you come to church, it shouldn't be just for what you can get out of it. It's for what you can give to other people. We need to reach out to others. You know, some of you say, well, preacher, this was a pretty basic lesson. Well, you're not here just for yourself. Yes, you should come expecting for God to give you something and He should speak to your heart. But come looking to minister to others. Come looking to give to others. Come looking to reach out to others and be a blessing to them. But some of you have been saved for as long as I've been alive. And there's probably nothing new that I'm going to be able to preach that you're going to go, wow, never heard that before. But you know what? You're here to be an example. You're here to be a blessing to others. You're here to glorify God. You're here to encourage other people afterwards to say, hey, what'd you think of that message? The Lord talk to you about anything in that message? And just be an encouragement to other people. We're here to reach out to others. Sometimes you see some needs. Sometimes you find out about something. And you look to meet those needs and care about others. Remember how you felt the first time you came to Bethel Baptist Church? You're a little nervous maybe, and you're looking around, and boy, I don't know these people. They don't know me. Wasn't it nice when somebody came up and introduced themselves? Hey, you got somebody to sit with? Why don't you come sit with us? We got room in our row. Or we got room in the row in front of us because I got a big family. But come sit with us. Or, hey, we're so glad you're here. How'd you find out about the church? And just get to know them a little bit and set them at ease. Hey, reach out to people, because people respond when you have compassion. And it's in the Bible. It's on the front of our church bulletin. Of some, have compassion, making a difference. And God will use you to make a difference in people's lives if you'll seek to glorify God by reaching out to others. Now, you say, well, I'm just fifth grade. I'm just sixth grade. Hey, you know what? An adult who is visiting our church would expect me as the preacher to come up and introduce myself and ask his name and say, how are you doing? But if you as a fifth or sixth grader goes up and says, hey, I'm so glad you're here at Bethel Baptist Church. I'm glad you came. What's your name? Oh, Mr. Thompson. Good. Mr. Thompson, I'm glad you're here. My name's George. Yeah, I'm really glad you came. I really love our church. I'm glad you're here. How'd you find out about our church? And a little fifth grader is asking him this. You know what? He's going to say, hey, these people love the Lord and they care about me. Even this kid. And God can use you as a young person to impact somebody's life. Then those of us who've been doing it for years. If we're not careful, we get in a rut, don't we? Oh, it's time for the preaching. This is the song we stand up for. This is the song we sit down for. Okay, here's the same song. Yeah, we sing this one every month. Must be preacher's favorite or something. Singing this song again. Here we go. And we're not thinking about the words, and we're not focused, and we're in a rut. I heard one preacher say, a rut is like a grave with the ends kicked out. We don't want to be in a rut. And maybe today we need to say, Lord, I need to get the fervor back. I need to get the excitement back. I need to behave myself in the house of God. I need to be behaved. I need to be turned upside down. I need to have that life that's exciting and different, that abundant life that you came to give. Lord, that's got to be portrayed in the way that I worship you and gather here at church. Because 1 Timothy said that part of the Bible was written so that we would know how we ought to behave ourselves in the church, the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's bow our heads, pray.